Grace and peace, friends in Christ, from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Anyone want to take a guess at what the most sought-after Christmas gift will be this year? What do you think? Shout it out. What's it going to be? What is it? I can't. You got to be louder. Jewelry. Who said jewelry? How many people said jewelry? Okay. That's actually 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 on the list. Sixth most sought-after gift. What else? Technology, electronics. That's just two above jewelry. More people want electronics than jewelry. What else?
Money.
Here's an envelope full of money. Teenagers, yeah. Actually, that's pretty close. Gift cards. Gift cards are the most sought after gift at Christmas time, and it has been for the last several years. Gift cards are big business, especially this time of year. In a world where it really is difficult to discern what somebody wants as a gift card to a favorite store or a restaurant is perhaps just the ticket. And if you're really desperate, you can get a generic Visa or MasterCard gift card that a person can use virtually anywhere. I feel like I should get a kickback from Visa and MasterCard. Promoting. Gift cards can certainly be handy, although some may consider them a bit of a dereliction of responsibility in properly choosing a gift. Like I said, it's sort of like giving a person an envelope filled with cash. Great for a grandmother sending a gift to a 14-year-old grandson, but I don't think I'd be able to get away with that for an anniversary gift. I don't know, maybe. Do the jewelry stores have gift cards? That might be a good deal. Maybe I'll have to go into that. Gift cards make it seem like you at least made some effort, and it avoids the awkward confrontation with Aunt Susan when she asks why you're not wearing the sweater she got for you last Christmas. They say that hundreds of billions of dollars are tied up in gift cards. All the time. People buying them, people putting money on them, and then the receiver waiting to use them. And yet many gift cards never get used. Apparently, by some estimates, $10 billion in gift cards go unused every year. What's in your wallet? I didn't even write that one down. That was just, see, they're just the same thing that is happening on the airwaves is happening in my head. The advertisements are just going crazy. But as with any currency, coins, bills, whatever, the value is in the redemption. Until it's redeemed, a gift card is just a hunk of plastic. But if you take it to the store or the restaurant and you trade it in, you get something you want. If you go on Amazon, actually, gift cards for Amazon, you actually have to go online and click the word redeem. You click that word and you type in the number on the card, even the secret code, and it puts that amount on your account. So the next time you want something, you have that as a credit. So the redeeming is important. Everything depends on redemption. And of course, that's the same word we use to describe what God does for us in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. God redeems us. God buys us. God trades in one thing for the sake of gaining us. Now, it's not common, and for good reason, to talk about buying people. But redemption was a way of talking about what happened not too long ago when people were bought and sold, paid for. Enslaved persons and indentured servants had a certain value. And someone wishing to attain that value could, either for themselves or for the sake of setting the enslaved person free, they could redeem that person for a price. Today we don't have slavery in quite that same manner, although it is possible that we can become enslaved to certain debtors or people to whom we owe something. Credit cards and the banks that issue them own many people in the world today. High interest rates and harm that they can do to a person's credit score can keep a person from realizing their goals and their dreams. And in order to be freed of that debt, that person must be redeemed. The debt must be paid. The redemption in which God engages is a redemption of our lives from the power of sin and death. God, we say, sent Jesus into the world in order to redeem the world, or that the world might be redeemed through him. Jesus uses the term in the gospel reading today, painting a picture of powerful omens and debilitating wonders that leave many in the world confused and helpless. And he himself says that he will come in a cloud with power and glory. And Jesus tells his disciples that when they see these things taking place, don't cower, don't hide, but stand up. Raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. And the parable of the fig tree, it's really more of an example. Jesus says, do like you do with the trees. Watch for the branches to produce buds and leaves, and then start getting ready for summer. But if you're distracted and you forget to see the signs that point to this thing that God is doing, then you might miss it. Reminds me of one of my all-time favorite lines from a movie, from Ferris Bueller's Day Off. You remember, Ferris decides that he's going to take the day off school and get a couple of his friends out of school too. And together they're going to go and have a day of enjoyment and adventure and excitement. And at one point, Ferris looks at the camera, directly at all of us, the audience, and he says, life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you might miss it. That's another thing that enslaves us in today's world, I think. Time and the speed of life. People today are consumed by the need to get so many things done in such little time. And the days rush by us like a raging river because we jump from one activity to the next. How many times have you thought to yourself, if I only had just a few extra hours or one extra day, if only I could turn back time? We'd love to be able to buy a gift card that redeems time, wouldn't we? It's probably worth noting that I don't think that redemption is necessarily the same thing as salvation. I really think that when Jesus talked about redemption, even if he used a term like salvation, he wasn't talking about something that happens to us after we die. Jesus didn't actually talk about going to heaven all that much. For Jesus, the idea of salvation or redemption is something that happens in this world. It's a state of being that God creates in a person when a person hears and believes and starts to live a new life in Christ. Which fits well with what we've just said about redemption. Imagine the owner of slaves saying to them, good news, when you die, you're going to be free. Or what if you got a gift card, but it really didn't have any value until after your funeral? In order for redemption to be of any use, it has to happen now. Or at least in a future that can be realized. Because it's about a relationship with God and with all the other people in this new kingdom that God's bringing about, and the whole creation even. And the reason we talk about going to heaven when we die in this world is because we believe that this relationship with God never ends. It's perfected through our death to this world, but it begins here. Now, a foretaste of the feast to come is what we celebrate in this place. And not just here, we take this joy and this peace, this forgiveness, this exuberance of redemption, and we go out there into the world and we share it with everyone so that they may be redeemed too. That they too might come to know this God in Jesus who loves the whole world. Because God's redemption doesn't come because we read the Bible enough or pray a certain prayer. And God's redemption won't come just to a few who have their lives in order and know just how to be. God's redemption comes to those who are able to wait and watch and take time away from the necessities that the world says we should focus on. When we wait for God, God redeems that time in us that we might have frivolously spent on foolish things. It's not idle time spent waiting to use a gift card. It's redeeming that card for the sake of our lives and the lives of others. That's what makes this such a great time to talk about redemption on this first Sunday of Advent. And this part of the story that Jesus is all about might not seem all that Christmassy. But if Jesus comes into our world, then Jesus comes into the whole world. Jesus comes not just into the pretty places, not just the safe places. Jesus comes into the distress among nations. And when people faint from fear and foreboding of all that is coming upon the world, when the powers of the heavens and the earth begin to shake, this is the world in which we wait. This is the world in which we help one another stay awake for the sake of catching a glimpse of something new that God is doing. And if we can read these signs and know that even when things are looking a little bit sketchy, that this is the moment of God's redemption in Jesus, then we can share that joy with the whole world. I hope you get lots of beautiful gifts for Christmas this year. And maybe you'll get a few gift cards. Remember, when you go to redeem those cards and the immediate value of that gift, yours to bless your life with food to share or something special that you've wanted to do some good in the world. Remember also the redemption in Christ that is ours, here and now, to spend on this beautiful life and to share for the blessings of all.